The book of Judges, chapter 2 and verse 10. And we've been thinking, of course, about Joshua. And last week we spent a little bit of time thinking about the death of Joshua. And so here we're now thinking about that generation that died with Joshua and those of his age. And verse 10 says, "And also all that generation were gathered unto their fathers, and there arose another generation after them, which knew not the Lord, nor yet the works which he had done for Israel. And the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord, and served Balaam." So here the children of Israel are in Canaan. Joshua is dead. That generation have died, and we discover that the people have forgotten the promises that they made to follow God, and they did evil in the sight of the Lord. And then verse 12 says, "And they forsook the Lord God of their fathers, which brought them out of the land of Egypt, and followed other gods, of the gods of the people that were round about them, and bowed themselves unto them, and provoked the Lord to anger. And they forsook the Lord, and served Baal and Ashtaroth. And the anger of the Lord was hot against Israel, and he delivered them into the hands of spoilers that spoiled them, and he sold them into the hands of their enemies round about, so that they could not any longer stand before their enemies. Whithersoever they went out, the hand of the Lord was against them for evil, as the Lord had said, and as the Lord had sworn unto them, and they were greatly distressed. Nevertheless, the Lord raised up judges, which delivered them out of the hand of those that spoiled them. And yet they would not hearken unto their judges, but they went a whoring after other gods and bowed themselves unto them. They turned quickly out of the way which their fathers walked in, obeying the commandments of the Lord, but they did not so. And when the Lord raised them up judges, then the Lord was with the judge, and delivered them out of the hand of their enemies all the days of the judge. For it repented the Lord because of their groanings, by reason of them that oppressed them and vexed them. And it came to pass, when the judge was dead, that they returned and corrupted themselves more than their fathers in following other gods to serve them and to bow down unto them. They ceased not from their own doings, nor from their stubborn way. And the anger of the Lord was hot against Israel. And he said, Because that this people hath transgressed my covenant which I commanded their fathers, and have not hearkened unto my voice, I also will not henceforth drive out any from before them of the nations which Joshua left when he died. And through them I may prove Israel, whether they will keep the way of the Lord to walk therein as their fathers did keep it or not. Therefore the Lord left those nations without driving them out hastily, neither delivered he them into the hand of Joshua." Amen. May the Lord bless to us this reading from his word. Today we're going to begin to look at the book of Judges, which gives an account of around 300 years from about 1400 BC before Christ to 1100 years before the coming of the Lord Jesus. And the book of Judges extends for a period in the history of the children of Israel from the end of Joshua's life until the times of Eli and Samuel. Now, Samuel is perhaps a prophet that we have heard of in the past, but between the time of Joshua to the time of Samuel and the kings. So Samuel was at the time of Saul and the time of David. This is the period known as the times of the judges, and it's a period of about 300 years. It was a period of unrest in Canaan, in the land of Israel, and a period of instability due to the failure of the tribes of Israel to rid their land of the remaining Canaanite nations. And also, they were prone to attacks from enemies on their borders, like the Philistines and the Midianites. It was a period characterized by a lack of faith and a lack of trust and a lack of obedience to the things of the Lord. Periods in the life of the nation where there was sinning and there was idolatry, and the different tribes, as a consequence of that, were brought into slavery by their neighbours. Now, in this book of Judges, there are 13 judges identified. Although sometimes we think, or sometimes you might see written 14 or even 15. The difference being that sometimes Eli is called a judge and sometimes Samuel is called a judge. But in the book of Judges, primarily, there are 13, and then it's Eli and Samuel as well. And some of these judges we know very little about, mostly just their names, really. Some we know a little bit more about, and then there are a few, like Gideon and Ehud and Deborah and, perhaps best known of all, Samson, that are famous and their stories are well known. These judges, we learn from our reading today, were raised up by God when the people cried out to him for help from the persecution that they were suffering and enduring. Persecution that had been brought on as a result of their sinning. And so the people sinned, they went into idolatry, they disobeyed the word of God, they were punished for that by the Lord, and we discover that the neighbours and the tribes and the nations round about dominated and brought them under duress. And then the people cried out for help, and the Lord raised up a judge to deliver them. And while the Holy Spirit has caused this book to be written and preserved for the teaching of the church, it is not known who actually wrote the book of Judges. We don't have any evidence as to who the writer was in the history of the church. Some think it may have been Samuel, or indeed, would you believe that it's even been suggested that it was King Hezekiah, the very king that we've been thinking about in the book of Isaiah. Be that as it may, probably Samuel is the one who is thought of most likely to have been the writer. The judges that God raised up were not rulers over the whole country. They were not governors or magistrates in the way that we sometimes think about a judge in a court. It wasn't that they made decisions or as a general rule, divided or decided between different cases. Nor did they have the authority that Moses or Joshua had in previous generations. And actually, the speed with which the children of Israel sinned and the tribes fragmented following the death of Joshua shows us the great strength and power that God had given to these earlier leaders to be able to hold the nation together for so many years and to bring them into the promised land. But now, in the promised land, we find that the people go after the gods of their neighbours. Some of these judges that we're going to be thinking about only had their role and their service in one particular tribe. They were men who were temporary special deliverers sent by God for a specific reason at a specific time, generally. And they came to save the people from their oppressors. Their power only extended over portions of the country, and some of them were actually contemporaries one of another, which means that they lived at the same time in different parts of the country and served their people in different ways. The principal lesson that we glean from the opening of the book of Judges is that Israel failed to rid the land of their enemies. And on occasion, they even entered into pacts or agreements with their enemies in order for them to commingle and co-marry and dwell together. Now, if you remember, this was against the explicit command of God, and it was also against the direction of Joshua. And it was the source of many of the nation's troubles. Just as Joshua had feared, the children of Israel did not continue in the things of the Lord, despite the promises that they had made to follow in God's way. What we do notice from these earliest chapters, however, is the emergence of the tribe of Judah as a leading tribe in the nation. And we might remember that this was according to prophecy and reflects the words spoken by Jacob when he blessed the brothers, the 12 brothers back in Egypt prior to his death. Judah, of course, was a large tribe, and it would be the tribe from whom David arose to rule over the combined nation of Israel in years to come, some 300 years later after the time of the judges. But more importantly, it was the tribe from which the Lord Jesus Christ would come, whose name is called the Lion of the Tribe of Judah. And this leads me to say something that I have mentioned before, but it's important for us to remember these things. That while this book contains many interesting and indeed even exciting narratives and stories and histories and accounts of the lives of people of that age, the real value for us as the Church of Jesus Christ is to keep in mind two principal lessons. First, God's people Israel, despite being greatly blessed and privileged, do not conduct themselves properly or in accordance with God's will. The heart of man is deceitful and desperately wicked, and we are all prone to fall into sin and idolatry and false worship. The second principal lesson is how gracious the Lord is to show himself to these people as merciful and gracious and forgiving for their good despite their sin, according to the promises that he had made to their forefathers. God gave these people the law and they broke it. And when God gave them blessings, the people abused and misused them. And when God brings judgment, the people cry out for help. only to repeat the cycle when the Lord delivers them by the hands of a judge. And what we will find in the next few weeks as we're looking at some of these characters and their exploits is that concerning these judges, there are many types and pictures of the Lord Jesus Christ in this book. Gospel shadows that are to be uncovered as we look at these passages together. The true value, the lasting purpose of the Word of God for His church and for His people is to teach us about the Lord Jesus. The judges are interesting, the history is interesting, but it is the spiritual lessons about Christ that are to be seen in these passages by those who have an eye of faith that is the real source of blessing for the church of God. And we will find that the Holy Spirit has been pleased to leave many references to the great events of salvation. There always was a spiritual people among the children of Israel. And in this book, we find that there are men and women of true faith that remained dedicated to the ways of the Lord despite the apostasy around about them. And several of those whose history is given in this scripture were eminent types of the Lord in himself, as well as being the servants of the Lord. And the writer to the Hebrews in the New Testament highlights some of them, such as Gideon and Barak and Samson and Jephthah, whose testimonies are given as bright examples of faith for you and for me. So we will read about some of these people. And in the coming studies, we will be speaking of ancient men and women, but we will be on the lookout for the Lord Jesus Christ, and we will be sure to find him, because he told his disciples that he is spoken of in all the scriptures. And I just want to give you one brief example, and then we're done. In the verses that we read, we find that the people forsook the Lord and they turned to worshipping idols. Nevertheless, we are told that the Lord was willing to hear their cries for forgiveness when they turned to him for help. And we read that the Lord raised them up judges. Then the Lord was with the judge and delivered them out of the hand of their enemies all the days of the judges. These judges, the people that we're speaking about, the people of whom this book is about, were men and a woman whom God raised at a particular time for a particular purpose, to deliver and bless his people. But despite having the boldness of a Gideon and the strength of a Samson and the cunning of an Ehud, these judges were only frail humans like us. They followed the Lord, but they lived and they died as we all must do. And here we see the need that we all have of a greater deliverer, a judge who will deliver not just for a little time, not just for a few people in one place, but forever and ever. Not just a single nation or over a single land, but over all his people worldwide, to establish an everlasting kingdom, a spiritual kingdom that will never fade and will never fail. This great deliverer, this person, is the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Lord Jesus Christ was a man, but he is also God. And it is he who fully delivered and saved all God's chosen people. It is the raising up of Christ that these Old Testament judges typified and pointed to. And in the coming weeks, we shall find more examples of Christ's work foreshadowed in the lives of these men and women of faith. May the Lord bless these thoughts to us. Amen.